Welcome, my name is William Cole. For more information about this recording and related topics, please visit my website, www.ectra.com, www.echtra.com. You are about to listen in on a phone conversation I recorded with Nathan Kempton on August 7, 2005. Nate is an accomplished animal and man tracker. His observation and awareness skills are truly remarkable. In this conversation, he's telling me about how he survived being hunted by a psychopath when he was 17 by relying on his awareness skills and intuition. Okay, let's get started.
Hey, you were telling me a story about when you were 17 and that...
you want to know that story?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. Let me this is a story in the... This is a story you have to have your lights off for.
All right, lights are down.
Okay. When I was 17 in Arizona, I ran a trap line, and I used to run my trap line. And the area I used to run it in was an area I called the Lower Sycamore. And if you go out an area called Beeline Highway in Arizona, and Beeline goes to Payson, I don't know, there's a number now. But, see, I didn't learn it as the number highway. I learned it as Beeline Highway, because Beeline Racetrack used to be right there on the side of it. You go out, you go past the turnoff for Saguaro Lake, and there's a turnoff to a thing called the Sycamore Creek, and it's this huge, huge, wide wash. It's just pure white sand out there. And I used to go after school and run a trap line out there. And I don't know, it was definitely in the winter. I used to kill coyotes, bobcats, and foxes. Not a lot of bobcats, but a lot of coyotes and a lot of foxes. And this is in the 70s, mid-70s. And I was out there, and drove Old Yeller. That was the name of my pickup, because it was yellow. It was a farm truck. Drove Yeller, crossed the sand wash, parked it out there underneath. There's big windmill. It used to be a big windmill out there. I parked it right there next to the windmill. And I would take off, and I would carry... I had a shotgun, a single-shot Ithaca shotgun. And I would carry that with me, because if I jumped quail, I would shoot them. And because, you know, hey, if I went out trapping, and I wasn't a great trapper then, there were a lot of times I came back without anything. So I used to kill quail, and I had a quail license, so I could shoot quail. So so I carried my shotgun, and I would carry a bucket in each hand. And a gunny sack in one hand with fresh traps, in case one of my traps got sprayed by a skunk. And the other hand had my shotgun, and then I had a bucket in there, and it was a bucket with just a couple jars of pookie, stuff to make the coyotes and the animals come in. And so I'd carry these five gallon bucket, and then a gunny sack with a couple traps in it. So I would take off after school, and it gets dark in Arizona fairly early, and not fairly early, but it gets dark, and so. So I would run my trap line at night, and I was very comfortable being out in the dark. It didn't bother me. I had a gun, I had a knife, and I was pretty good woodsman. I think I was 17 at this time. And I'd run my trap line, and I'd run, and I would cross at different places, cross this big sand wash at different places. The sand is a real light-colored sand, so it really reflects the moon. And I remember I would go to this one spot, run down this hill, and get to the sand wash, and I would always cross in the dark. In other words, as the moon would rise, I would use the shadow of the mountain as best as I could. Now, sometimes you can't, because the moon's getting up too early and stuff like that, and so then when you cross. But I would always cross at the same spot. Cow trails came down, and then across the wash, there's a big cottonwood tree on the other side, and I would always run straight to that cottonwood. And then I would go up, and I'd do everything. And I think on this time, I think I got a fox. And I may have had more than a fox. And I would, you know, I didn't shoot him with a shotgun because I'd make a big old hole in him. But I had another way in which I'd kill him. We won't go into that. But I'd kill the animal, and I'd skin him out there and leave the carcass because the other animals could eat it. And then I'd have this skin. And so then I'd throw that in with the gunny sack, in with the traps, because that was no big deal, you know. I mean, if the trap's a little bloody, the animal's not going to smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And so not going to bug him. So I came back, and I, sure enough, I hit my cottonwood. I'm coming back. I'm running back to the truck now. And it's a couple miles this whole trip. And I was jogging back, and I got to the cottonwood. And I would always have these goals. And I'd say, okay, I'm not going to stop jogging till I get up on top of the mountain. You know, out in front of me, you know, 60 yards. You know, up on top of that little flat. So then I, you know, got to the cottonwood, ran across the creek, and I'm watching, and my hat is just starting to show. As I looked off to my right, the moon is coming up, and I'm in the shadows, but just the top of my hat is out of the shadows, so I could see my hat bobbing, you know, on the sand off to my right. And so I'm running along, you know, I'm looking at that, and it's kind of funny looking, because there's a little bit of a movement, you know, and it's just my hat. So I get up on top, run up on top, and I get up to that creosote flat, and I drop my bucket. I'm like, whoa, okay, I've got, you know, like three quarters of a mile, maybe a mile back to the truck, and I'm done. It's cool, I got an animal, I'm really feeling good. And so I reach down to pick up my stuff, and all of a sudden, I felt something. It was like, something's not right. I'm thinking, wow. What is that? I mean, it was really strange. I'm standing there, I'm looking straight ahead towards my truck, you know, that direction, towards the west. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, the hair on the back of my neck starts to raise up. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, wow, there's an animal close by. So, I have my shotgun, and I'm looking. I'm looking, and I have really good vision. I don't really anymore. Actually, I still have really good far vision. I might have to get reading glasses, but at the time, I had 15/20 vision. One eye was 10/20, one was 15/20. So I can really see. And I remember leaning forward a little bit, kind of really pushing my eyes out there, trying to look way down the trail, out on the creosote flat. Now I'm starting to pan off to my right, off to the wash, because the wash is on my right side. It swings around this bench that I'm on, and I look off to my left, and it goes up, the hill goes up, and I'm looking up there, and I don't see anything. This is, you know, I can see for, if it were day, I could see for probably 15 miles, 10 miles. You can, you know, out across the wash, and the way out on the flats out there, I can see forever. The hill on my left, it kind of goes up, and I could see, you know, maybe a half mile up to the top of the hill. And so I'm just sitting there, and I'm looking, and I don't see anything, and I'm thinking, weird. Okay, I'm a little, you know, I'm thinking, I'm just a little spooked. It's nighttime, you know, for whatever reason, I'm a little jumpy. No big deal. So I reach down and pick up my stuff, and all of a sudden, Eric goes off again. And this time, it's not just the hairs on the back of my neck, it's the hairs on my arm, it's all the way down my spine is now tingling. It's like popcorn. It's like electricity. And I'm going, holy shit, something's really up. I'm looking, and I turn around, back there by the cottonwood tree, there's a guy, and he's about 60 yards away, and he's walking my direction, and his head is down, and I'm watching him, and I'm thinking, and at first, here I am, stupid, naive Nate. I just about whistled, I almost went, hey, up here, you know, that kind of thing. It was really, I chuckle at that. And this guy is walking, and all of a sudden I realize I can see his head. That's all I can see. And that was, it kind of bugged me at first. I was like, whoa, there's a head out there bobbing. But what had happened is the moon had risen enough that where it was just showing the crown of my hat, it was showing his whole head and part of his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And he's walking. And then I realized he's walking right where I walked. He's walking right where I walked because he's trailing me.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, oh, I am in deep doo-doo. I've got a couple traps. I've got a coyote. I've got a bucket of pookie. And I'm fast. You know, I was pretty fast in track and went and ran at ASU and stuff like that. But I don't know how fast this guy is. I'd lost enough races to know there's a lot of people out there that can beat me. And this guy is walking, not fast, but he's just walking, he's tracking me. And I'm thinking, I may not be able to outrun this guy. So I take the gunny sack, and I look off to my left, and there's a cat claw bush. Now, one thing about cat claw is if you throw something at it, it hooks on it. It's got these little tiny hooks all over. So I took the gunny sack, and I threw it up above the cat claw bush, and it kind of like, and it hung up in it. That's what I wanted, because if you lay something on the ground, because it's that light-colored sand granite,
mm-hmm.
it shows up. But if something's hanging up and you look through a shrub, you can't see through it because the next shrub and the next shrub and the next shrub block it, and it makes it just look dark.
Uh-huh.
So if you look carefully, you can see that there's something there, but it doesn't show up as well. And I take the bucket, and I'm like, oh, the bucket. You don't need to put that in print either. So I take the bucket, I take a couple steps, and I just stick it behind this bush, and then I take off running. And I'm running literally for my life. And I'm running, and I'm running, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to outrun this guy. And if he catches me, so be it. And then I realize that, you know, out here, and he may just be able to shoot me. I'm only 60, I'm only 50, I'm only 40 yards in front of him. I'm not even, you know, I mean, he's, while I stood there analyzing everything, he was walking, and I was stopped. He may shoot me. So I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work. And number one. And number two, I'm running, and I know what it looks like. And if he's tracking me, this is going through my mind in a split second. If he's tracking me, he will see that I'm running. He knows that I know he's here now.
Mm.
And so now he's going to run. And I think, I'm going to ditch him. Okay? Let's just see how good this guy is. I'm going to ditch him. Because all I got to do is create time between me and he won't catch me. So as I've now slowed down, and now I'm at a jog, and I was, you know, I'm not at the same kind of a jog, a little bit faster jog than when I had the bucket and the gunny sack, but I'm at a jog, and I'm jogging down this trail, and I'm crested, and now I'm going down a hill, and then I realize there's a cow path coming up off to my left, and it goes down to the wash on my, you know, crosses, intersects my trail. So I'm going to take it, and I'm not going to go to the sand wash because I don't want to have to run across the sand wash because that's really bright and open. I'm going to go up the hill. So I turned on the cow path going up the hill very carefully, and I went up the hill to my left, and I'm going up the hill. And then I realized there's another cow path that goes that parallels the one I was just on. So I'm going to go back up away from the truck on that upper cow trail. Let's just see how good this guy is. Sure, he can follow me on the sand wash. Let's see if he can follow me on this hard-packed cow trail. So now I've gone up. I've hit the other trail, and it's probably 40 yards above the first trail, and I'm going backwards. I'm going away from the truck now. Okay? You understand what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hooking back. So I've doubled back on him on another trail. And I'm moving along. I'm trying to look down to try to see the other trail, but I can't really see it. The hill kind of had a little bit of a crest in it. And that's a good thing, because then I'm hidden. So I'm moving along, and all of a sudden I realized right where I was, because a couple years earlier I had caught a bobcat on this wash. It's really a cool wash. It has these great big rocks. They're like the size of a big serving platter, and the sand is perfect, and the sand wash is about 12 feet across, and it flows downhill into the big wash, and there are these big rocks out there in the middle, two or three of them, and so I'm walking up, and as I'm walking up, I'm already thinking about this. I'm not going to show because, you know, I've already been tracking for a little bit, so I kind of know how to do this. And so I'm not going to show that I'm going to jump. I'm just going to kind of quickly off the top of my toes take off and hit that rock right there, because I'm watching. I'm looking at this rock. I'm looking at my target. So as soon as I get there, boom, I get up on my toes, boom, I hit the rock. I balance. So now I haven't touched the ground, and Nelson, 8 a.m. I love you. That's why we work on Monday. Good night. Okay. Good night. So I balanced. That was my daughter coming in to see what time we work tomorrow, I balance on this rock. So I didn't touch the sand anywhere from where I took off from the cow trail, and then I jumped out in the middle. It's probably 6 feet, no big deal. Boom. And I remember balancing on it. And then there's another rock to my right. I jump onto it. And then I look around. I'm like, okay, now what, smart guy? You know? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what? You made your tracks disappear. It's only going to take them a second to figure out what I did. What am I going to do? And I look around. There's this huge, huge, and I call them alligator junipers just because they have that great big bark and it peels off. It looks like the back of an alligator. And they're really dense and dark and no light. And there's about three of them right there. So I thought, perfect. So I jump as far as I can towards the juniper. Boom. And I hit the ground, turn around, I smear out my tracks. And I've been trapping for a long time. So I can make it so that I can make my tracks pretty well disappear. So I smear them out, smooth out the sand, and I back into that alligator juniper. I back into there. And I just back in so that the branches kind of wrap around me. So there's an opening between me and the trail, and it's about 15 yards, I'd say, between where I was and the end of the trail. And I'm just standing there in this juniper. And I know you can't see me. It's just dark.
Mm-hmm.
The tree's dark, and there's a couple of them. But to the layman, to most people, they would think that I jumped onto that rock and kept going down the trail, and that's just what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, he could get this far. So now, a little trick I learned when I used to hunt all the time. What? Yeah. When I used to hunt all the time, Matt, close the door. Close the door. When I used to hunt all the time, I had a single shot. So what I did is I learned a technique to where I could shoot, and I would have in between my fingers, I would have a shell. And so you'd shoot, and then when you break your gun, your shell ejects. This is a shotgun, and then you can slide the next shell in. You're not groping for the next shell. You've got them interlaced in your fingers.
Uh-huh.
You could have two shells. So really, I could shoot three times fairly fast. And it was just a trick I learned as a kid, because I didn't have a pump shotgun or an automatic. So I stood there, and I pulled those out, and I had them in my fingers, and I just stood there for a long time. And I don't know how long, but it seemed like forever. And I just about started to move, and all of a sudden, Eric, I saw the hat.
No.
There came the guy coming down the trail, walking down the trail, and I'm thinking, so I thumbed the hammer back, and at this distance, and I had six shot in my shotgun, and I also had with me, because sometimes you get in quail that fly really early,
mm-hmm.
so you're not close to them, so I had something called high base, and high base has a bigger brass, and you can kill quail at probably 30, 40, it's about 30 yards with high base.
Mm-hmm.
So at 15 yards, I could punch a hole right through this guy with these shots.
Alright.
So I'm looking at the guy. Now I'm 17. I'm not going to shoot somebody. But I was ready to. And you know what? That was the thing. I was, you know, it was really weird because as I watched him, before I saw him, I was doing the mental gymnastics. Do I shoot him or don't I? Okay, I'll shoot him if he does this, but I won't shoot him if he does that. I'm doing all the stupid things.
Alright.
This guy meant me no good. If you're trailing somebody and you're armed, you're up to no good.
Right.
So I watched him. Here he came. He came up, and he got right up to the edge, and he's watching my tracks. He's looking at my tracks. And he's got in his left hand, so going away from me, he's cradled, and he's got a lever action gun. And it looks like a deer rifle, a 30-30. Something like that. The lever action.
The guy with a deer rifle is tracking you.
Yeah. But he's got it in the wrong arm, pointing away from me. Even if it were pointing towards me, the way he had it cradled, he couldn't have shot me. But I really had him dead to rights. And I remember he's looking down, and all of a sudden, he just exhales, and I can hear him exhale. And he looks right at the bush, right at the tree I'm in.
Oh.
And I'm just thinking, oh, shit. And I'm looking at him, but I've got my gun, and I've got the barrel leveled at him, and I've got my thumb on, I've got the hammer thumb back, and I've got my finger on the trigger, and I've, at this point in my life, I've killed a lot of deer, I've killed a lot of coyotes, and I'm thinking, this is bad. and the guy's looking right at me. His right leg is forward. He's wearing, he's got an old, like, cowboy hat, a Stetson-type hat. He's got a Levi jacket on. He's got Levi's on. I remember the front of his Levi's kind of had, they looked greasy. They looked like he had been wearing them for a long time.
Mm.
And he's standing there looking at me, and I'm standing there looking at him, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And he slowly, he drops his left foot back, and he slowly turns with his back towards me and walks back down the trail. And I'm watching this guy as he disappears, and I'm thinking, okay, that's good. That's good. And then I think, that's bad. He's walking towards my truck.
Right.
Where did he go? So now, I take my gun and I pull it up to my shoulder and I run to where he was and I look down the trail, ready to shoot. And I was really dumb to do it like that.
Yeah.
He was waiting, he would have shot me. He was gone.
I
did not see him anywhere. And I'm looking, and I drop down to one knee, and I'm trying to look underneath all the bushes as best I can, and I can't see him anywhere. And I think, oh, shit. Okay, this is it. I'm dead. So I take, and I thumb my hammer back down so it's not, so, you know, the trigger's not ready to go off. And I leave the shell in the chamber, and I run. And I run straight down that wash. I hit the main wash. I cross the wash, kind of where he and I, where I first saw him. I go straight, so I was right up above that point. I go straight down. I hit that wash. I cross the main wash, and I hit another cattle trail on the far side, and I run, and I run. Eric, I ran, and it was so weird because the whole time I'm running, I can feel, I'm not kidding, I can feel the bullet hitting me. It was just, it was crazy.
Wow.
I could feel the lead. And it was really weird because this one time I stumbled and I thought, am I shot? No, I'm not shot. I just stumbled. Yeah, I kept expecting it. I kept waiting for it. I ran the whole way back. I got to my truck and I remember running up to my truck, and as I was getting close to my truck, I got my keys out, got the key out, ran up, missed the lock. Now I can really feel it. I can feel getting shot.
Yeah.
I drop the key in, open it up, jump in my truck, start it up. I'm driving like crazy. I mean, I'm running over stuff. I'm driving as fast as I can without getting stuck.
Yeah.
So I kept thinking, don't get stuck, don't get stuck, don't get stuck. And I'm driving along, the shotgun's next to me, and I kept, I mean, it was so nuts. Because the way that the light of the dashboard was dancing off of the windows, it made me feel like any second he was going to jump out, like in the scary movies,
yeah,
and be right there in the window. You know, that kind of thing. I scream out, I hit Beeline Highway, I go, man, I go home, I don't sleep at all. I am terrified.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting there at night, all night long, with the gun in my bed, waiting for the guy to come through my window. I mean, you know, that's how scared I was.
Yeah.
Next morning, I go over to my buddy's house. I said, Jeff, you got to go help me. You got to go help me. Go get these, go get my traps, you know. And he goes, well, what, you know, what happened, man? So he's a lot older than me, 12 years older than me, and he and I were friends. So I tell him about it, and he goes, man, he goes, Nate, he goes, you know, yeah, I'll go with you. He goes, but, you know, you got to be more careful. Don't go out there alone. There's a lot of crazy-ass people out there in the desert, people that kill people just to kill them. You know, and he's, like, lecturing me. He was a Vietnam vet, was in Saigon. He was an MP.
Mm-hmm.
And so he and I went out, and we went out there and retraced, went out, got my traps. Everything was still there, traps, gunny sack, everything. And then we retraced his steps, and he did. When he left where he was with me, he ran down the trail and then ducked in and laid down. I think he thought I would go down that trail.
He's waiting for you.
Yes. And then when I went and I ran down, he started down the hill and he hit the main cow trail that I was on originally.
So he knew you were running.
Yes. And I went down across the wash. He stayed on that cow trail and paralleled me out to the truck and then cut across at a diagonal. So he didn't get me, but he was there.
Oh,
Jeez. Give me a Bible, I'll swear on it.
Oh, man.
True story. So, awareness pays off sometimes. But, you know, it's just one of those things, Eric. I still, even telling the story, the electricity doesn't run up and down my spine. But when I was telling you the story tonight, the hair on the back of my neck and the hair on my arms was going crazy. I was standing up because it was, it still is a scary story to me to this day. That guy out there.
Wow.
So that's probably my big life-threatening awareness story that just, you know, just saved my bacon.
Yeah.
The greatest teacher to me, if somebody were to say, you know what, Nate, I really want to know awareness. I want to learn awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest teacher you have, in my opinion, is the bird.
Thank you for listening. If you're interested in more information about this recording and other related topics, please visit www.ectra.com. www.echtra.com.